We are back.
We still here?
Yes, yes, yes. Thriving, surviving, all of the things.
All of the things.
How are you doing on your holiday shopping? What percentage is complete at this point?
Zero.
Wow.
None.
Yeah? Is this typical for this stage in December?
No. I usually start early and strong, and then I fade, and then it's a big push at the end. I've just done nothing.
Online or in store?
Combo.
Really?
Yes.
I'm an in-store guy.
So I like the in-store experience. I'm a control freak. Okay. So when I can control the experience, I'm here for it. So I'm thinking one day next week, in the random middle of the day, I'm going to pick up a holiday festive drink.
Okay.
And I'm going to go into a few stores, wander aimlessly,
sing
along.
Hold on, talk about this holiday festive drink for a minute. Is there alcohol or
no
alcohol?
No.
Okay,
it's like a coffee-ish.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're about to get lit and then go shopping.
No. Okay. It's like Hallmark Christmas movie.
Okay, I got you.
Roasted chestnuts.
Okay. I got you.
Gingerbread, peppermint, latte with oat milk.
Yes. Very churchy. Very churchy. Okay.
No, it's the whole thing.
How many people on the list?
Oh, the list is short.
How many? Ballpark. Under 10?
No.
Under 15?
Like, I got a big family, remember?
I know. Somebody's
so
not getting something.
Like, if you're talking gifts,
any sort of gift that gets a
any
bow
little
on it,
thing, any.
Gets an envelope licked. With money inside. How many people?
25.
Wow. Okay. Very generous.
But not all.
I got you. Some people are getting a Dunkin' Donuts gift card. I got you.
Right. Colleagues, you know.
All right.
I'm checking out what people in the office like.
Administrators and teachers at your kid's school, do they get something?
Ooh. You know what? We used to be really good about that.
Sounds like no.
Yeah,
you got a kid that's a senior, so I mean.
Yeah, but you know.
If you didn't do it last year, might as well not start now.
So as much as we talk about what I do versus what the husband does, he usually handles that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Yeah. It's good for something.
Well, he'll.
He's good for many things. Okay, rapid fire. Okay.
Right.
Holiday cards. Are you mailing them out?
Not this year.
At all. When's the last time you did holiday cards?
Digital. Yeah.
When's the last time you mailed a set of holiday cards?
2021?
Or you were 21 years old?
Or 2022.
Okay. Photo shoot?
One of those years, we got cards, put them in envelopes, addressed them.
Okay. And never mailed them?
Never mailed them.
Yo, I love you.
We should send them
out. I've done that.
We should send them out now.
Yeah, I've done that. Well, the kids are older now, like.
I know where they are.
People don't know.
I know where they are.
That would be
no,
hilarious.
They do know because the kids are older now.
Yeah. But the person that haven't seen them in a while, they're like, oh, snap.
Yeah, I just.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm losing my zeal for that.
I got you.
But trees are up. There's a sign of Christmas in every room in the house.
That's
but
good.
This
final
is not
question.
Your rapid fire.
Photo shoot or no photo shoot?
No photo shoot this year.
So iPhone photos for the digital card?
Nope.
Selfie? Like what's on the digital card? No image at all?
No image.
Really?
So it got trickier because the college student isn't home unless we would have done this Thanksgiving. When he gets home, it's too late.
Yeah.
Unless we're going to do like the New Year card.
Yeah, we did one this summer. We went on a cruise this summer and we did photos.
That's lovely.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, but ask me if mine are done yet.
And I'm not done yet?
I'm not responsible for this. So
right.
From what I've been told, no.
Right.
I also have no idea who we're buying gifts for. I have no idea what folks are getting. I am completely checked
out. So you're asking me questions that you don't know the answer to for yourself.
The thing is, like, typically you're in charge of a lot of these things. You've told me on this podcast.
Biased.
So, yeah.
Biased.
Okay. All right.
I freed myself from the burden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I don't think it's 25 people on my list, though. Like, my list is significantly shorter than that.
Yeah. I mean, I have, like, not that I always buy for all of them, but I have, like, 6 godchildren. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them are adults now.
Yeah.
Or young adults now. I have nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
I have great nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Parents, in-laws, yeah, plus siblings.
You're the big Wall Street exec. You got to show
and prove. That is the myth.
Speaking of the myth, we should talk today about the American dream.
I think we're going to.
Yeah. So we know there's a new president coming in, a recycled president. And this new recycled 2.0 president.
You are consistent with that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to call him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know that the young people voted for him. In addition to other demographics that we broke down in the past, mm-hmm. one of the reasons we suspect they voted for him, looking at the exit polls and all that stuff, is money stuff. And there's this idea that for young people today, the American dream is increasingly hard to achieve. And so today we'll talk about what is the American dream? How do you get your piece of the American dream? And
is the dream still the same?
Yeah. Is the dream the same or is it different depending on where you're sitting? So let's talk about it. And also this hits close to home because we have young people at our firm. You mentioned having great nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. You've got young people in your life.
Yes.
So I think about like my godson, for example, who, you know, many folks know works at our firm. He's at an age where at that age, I was actually buying my first house.
Right.
For him, he's thinking about it, but he's not there yet. Mm-hmm. At that age, I was actually, I think, engaged or certainly close to it.
I was a homeowner at that age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, and he's, you know, 23, 24, 25. He's in that range. And for our generation, I think a lot of our contemporaries, our friends were doing the same things. Mm-hmm. For his generation, not as much.
Correct.
And so for some, there's this view that the American dream, which we'll define, is not as attainable today for the young people. So we're talking to everybody, but special shout to those young folks trying to get their piece of the pie.
That's right.
So let's start with defining what is this American dream. So this idea came from the Great Depression. Like, that's a crazy time for it to come. Like, things are like falling apart. Like, folks are losing jobs.
That's all you had was a dream.
Yeah, I guess so. But there was a book written at that time by James Truslow Adams, and the book was called Epic of America, and it was a 1931 bestseller.
People needed a dream.
It probably sold like 75 books. Like, that's a bestseller for the Great Depression. But in this book, it talked about this idea of the American ethos, is the idea that every person has the freedom and opportunity to succeed at attaining a better life. It also really spoke to things like democracy and liberty and equality. But really, when we think about the American dream today, a lot of folks think about economics and financial prosperity.
Sure.
Back then, Great Depression time, in the book it says, the dream of a land where life should be better and richer and fuller for everyone. And the big premise of the American dream in that book was the idea that you should be able to live a fulfilled, wealthy life full of opportunity that really is based on your own ability, your own work ethic. And it should not be based on the fortuitous circumstances that you can't control, like where you were born, who your parents are, or what position in life you started out at. Really, that idea that you can go from rags to riches is part of the American dream.
Fortuitous, big word of the day.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Okay.
And it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's the idea that you can go from in a lifetime from being poor to being in the middle class.
It's that everyone part, though.
Or you can go from being middle class to being wealthy. Mm-hmm. Or you can go from a millionaire to a billionaire, all of it.
All of it.
Or, you know, poor to a billionaire.
Or just born rich, stay rich.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody, we used to have this joke at Goldman, they say, want me to tell you how to make a small fortune?
Tell me.
It helps if you start with a large one.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. A lot of folks are starting out on second and third base. And they're making it to home plate. And for you, you think that's the dream, but
did really the people who didn't start out with a large fortune, did we laugh at the joke?
It's just one of these.
You just
like,
did it.
It's like
you,
a Wall Street dad joke. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Okay. You laughed on the outside. On the inside, you were like, that's corny.
On the inside, you're punching the air.
Right. Like, yeah.
You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's get into some stats. The first stat, and this is one that I know a lot of parents have this view. They want their kids to do better than them. I don't know if you ever heard your parents say that to you.
Of course.
So if you were born around 1940, let's say 1940s
not.
And 50s, you were not. But our parents were in the 40s and 50s. They were born.
Yeah.
You had a 90% chance of doing better than your parents. If you were born in the 70s and 80s, the odds of you doing better than your parents got cut in half to about 50%.
Crazy.
That's probably true for your classmates that you grew up with, that you went to high school with. Some are doing better than their parents, some are not.
Yeah.
But like our parents' generation, I think in general, especially for Black folks, like a lot of our families came from really dire economic circumstances. Mm-hmm. I know that's the case for mine.
Sure.
A lot of my dad's contemporaries, his brothers and sisters, they did a lot better than you would have expected, mm-hmm. given where they're coming from.
Yes.
So in many ways, they got their piece of the American dream. But now let's look at Generation Z. Gen Z is your kids, my kids, my godson.
Yes.
Your potentially your nephew, great nephew.
Yeah.
Super great nephew.
They're like that alpha generation.
But this generation that was born between 1996 and 2012 was called Gen Z. They're less likely to own a home. They're less likely to be married, less likely to have children. And about a third of them still live with their parents. Like, go backwards for a second. How many 25-year-olds did you know when you were 25 who were still living at home?
A lot. Not as many as now.
Of your friends?
Actually, no. Most of my friends were not still living at home at 25.
Yeah, not at 25.
Nope.
But a third of mm-hmm. young people today, not just living at home, but still in their parents' pocketbook. There's a stat that says 45% of young adults are completely financially independent from their parents. Not independent like they're independently
right.
wealthy.
Yes.
But, so less than half are out of their parents' pockets by 34
crazy.
Today. All right, by 34, were you out of your parents' pockets?
For sure.
So I know there's levels to getting out of your parents' pockets, but like phase one, I'm saying is like, for you, what was phase one? Versus like phase three is complete, like my parents don't help me with anything. But phase one might be like paying for your school clothes or something like that. That was phase one for me.
Phase one for, so timing wise, if phase one is fresh out of college,
mm-hmm.
it was, I'll contribute to buying some business wear for your job.
That was what your folks were doing for you.
Yes.
Helping you with some clothes.
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, so for me, at that time, it was just me and mom.
Yeah.
So we were both like, does it make sense for you to go pay rent somewhere? We can just do this here. So I contributed to the household. Like there was a dollar amount
mm-hmm.
or certain bills that I was paying.
And that's part of getting out of your parents' pocket,
yeah,
isn't it?
So that was phase
helping
one.
Helping them with
phase
bills?
One.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So phase one for me started in high school.
Mm-hmm.
At age 16, my parents said, look, we'll make sure you have a place to stay and they'll make sure there's food on the table from time to time. But if you want to eat anything outside of what we prepare in this house, you've got to get it yourself. And if you want any clothes, period,
wow,
you got to go out and work. And I started working at 16. So that was phase one for me.
Yeah.
I will say I started paying rent at 18.
Mm-hmm.
And my rent was
like
so high.
Like in the summer when you were home from school?
Graduated high school. Started working a corporate internship, and my dad, I was so happy. Like, I'm working. I'm making $8.50 per hour.
So you were happy to contribute to the household. I'm a man.
My pops was like, your rent is $500 a month. I'm like, what? I'm like doing the math. I'm like, $8.50 carried one. Okay. I'm making like $300 and some change a week. That's before taxes.
Right.
That's like $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
Like before taxes, I had to get a second job. So I've been working two jobs, like literally almost my entire adult life because of that.
I promise you, Gen Zers, they don't know nothing about that.
Yeah.
And yes, we're generalizing, so don't come for us, Gen Z.
Yeah. But here's some of the issues that Gen Z is facing that we did not face. Owning a home is a record 47% more expensive than renting right now.
That's totally fair.
When we were coming up, like, you could get a mortgage for about what you'd pay for rent back in the day.
Absolutely.
Not now. Other things. According to CBRE, 2023 was the least affordable time to buy a home in the last 11 years. So that means if you're 30, like, you'd have to go back to age 19 to find that your house was affordable.
Yeah.
That's a bad little run for you.
That's an awful run.
Yeah. So no wonder why a lot of these jokers are living at home. 31% living at home.
They have to.
So we'll also talk about all the components of the American dream. Like, one additional part of the American dream is starting a family, getting married, having kids. 62% of Americans think that marriage is really central to the American dream, but only 47% of people think it's attainable.
Marriage?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, like, hear me out for a second. Like,
I feel like we're anomalies here because we were both married very young, even compared to our peer group.
Yeah. But, like, I always say that there were, like, three peer groups. Like, my high school classmates had kids and got married, like, very early.
Mm-hmm.
My college classmates, probably like in their mid-20s, were getting married and having kids. But when I got to Wall Street, my professional classmates, they were doing all that stuff in their 30s.
Sure. And so your Wall Street colleagues were probably mostly white, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even my Black Wall Street colleagues, they were still getting trending towards doing a little bit later.
Okay.
Like, there were a lot of folks that I worked with who were in their 50s having their first kid, and their mantra was, I need to have at least X millions of dollars in the bank before I do this.
I understand that.
Not me. I was like, yo, I'm ready to do it.
Right.
You know, so it's just a different, you know, different thing culturally. But here's the issue with people getting married. The idea is that dating is a challenge, like being able to afford it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I remember being young and dating, and things didn't cost what they cost today.
I know, that's right.
And now, you know, like, men and women are fighting nonstop on social media about who pays for what. And, like, if you broke, just say so, you know. And
wow.
Yeah. No, like, this argument comes up a lot when a woman, well, a hypothetical woman typically will be like, hey, you know, I want to go to this particular type of restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't even know you yet. Maybe we could get coffee. And she's like, well, if you broke, just say that.
Like, yeah.
Like, that's the culture that's out there right now about dating.
Listen, I have a young adult and an emerging adult. My children are definitely dating age. And there was a conversation today about hanging out with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a plan to go get food and go to the movies. And now we're picking up food and we're watching movies.
At the crib. Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that either.
Because we're like adding up the expense of purchasing the tickets and going to sit down and eat. And it's like, yeah, we just want to hang out. So
yeah,
instead of Moana 2, I guess it's Netflix and chill.
That's it. Well, hold on. The chill part? I don't know. Well,
there's adult.
There's a PG there's version adult. Of this?
I only thought doing? Of it as the PG version. Okay.
But, you know, today we're talking about, is the American dream attainable? There was a survey in 2012 where 50% of people thought it was definitely still true.
Mm-hmm.
In 2024, that number is down to a third. So a lot of folks think it's not true anymore. There's also a rise in the people that thought it was never true. In 2012, only like 5% of people thought it was never true. And today it's close to 20% of people that said there was never an American dream.
Mm.
So we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll keep talking about this idea of the American dream. What is it and how do you get it? I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum. Show. Advisor Show. Advisor Show.
So we're back. The funny thing that's happening while we're taping this podcast, Andrea is trying to sell her Babyface tickets right now.
Yeah.
Not because you don't like Babyface.
Oh, not at all. I bought the tickets.
It's because you got, you know, you've got things to do.
We've got things going on and somebody said they weren't up for going anymore.
This comedian one time said he might have a baby face, but he's got some adult teeth.
Oh, wow. That's not nice.
Yo, Babyface is an incredible songwriter, by the way.
He is. And so I was really looking forward to experiencing those songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
instead,
anyway.
You are selling bootleg tickets outside the stadium.
I'm not selling bootleg tickets. I'm doing this the proper way. And it just takes some.
Okay. When you go to a concert, are you more likely to buy the t-shirts they're selling outside or inside?
None.
Neither.
I'm not buying merch.
Really?
No.
No keepsake?
I'm so old school. Like back in the day, the keepsake was the ticket. Like, did you ever
keep
probably guys didn't do that, but like
I used to keep tickets.
I would keep the ticket stub and it would go in a scrapbook and take some pictures and I'm not doing all that. The memories are all up here.
It's all up here.
Or in videos that live on my phone.
That's
I still have photos and video from New Edition Vegas residency.
Yeah.
I didn't share them at all.
I'm a big merch purchaser, but I'm inclined to buy them in or outside the stadium. Like inside the stadium, I know I'm paying an upcharge, but I also know I'm supporting that artist. If I love the artist, I'm good to support. Outside the stadium, I also know I'm supporting entrepreneurs. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I'm kind of good either way.
So like when it comes to merch, I have to actually like the merch.
Yeah.
Right. I'm looking at the quality of the t-shirt because I'm otherwise not going
to
wear it.
I just went to a show for this artist called Anissa Strings. She's like an artist I only discovered on Instagram, and she's so good, but not a lot of people would know her.
Okay.
But I bought the merch because it was just like a fly t-shirt, and I've been getting so many compliments from folks that have never heard of this artist.
Oh,
so
cool.
Every now and then, the merch is good.
I get it. If you're in a major city and there's times where I would consider it, but most of the time I don't.
Yeah.
At all.
So let's talk about this American dream.
Let's do it.
And by the way, did your ticket sale go through? Like, where are
now it's
this?
Like you got to log out again to get a code and transfer your tickets over here and update your password over there.
Did you post this on your social media? Like somebody would have snapped this up by now.
I did within some select groups, but.
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay.
It was also a time thing. There's so many things going on. No, not particularly.
Okay. All right.
But again, for this artist, I don't really need to be in his face.
Yeah.
So I'm fine if I'm
you don't
in
need
the balcony.
To be in Babyface face.
I don't need to be in Face's face.
Okay. I got you. So the American dream, what is it? Let's talk about this in terms of personal finance. And how much does it cost, by the way? How much do you think the American dream would cost? I know you've looked at the notes, but if you did not research this for today's show.
You want me to unknow it?
What would you think the American dream would cost?
Fun sponges don't know how to unknow stuff.
Oh my God. Then just tell us how much the American dream costs, man.
I still could be wrong.
Okay.
$1.5 million.
That sounds like a good guess.
Mm-hmm.
You're off by a magnitude of 3X.
Oh, okay.
The American dream.
Oh, you mean to purchase a home? Like the average?
The American dream, there's levels to it. There's components to it.
It depends what you mean.
So here's what's included.
And I'm not looking at the notes while I'm looking at Ticketmaster and StubHub.
Here's what many people believe to be the components of the American dream.
Okay.
Retirement, meaning like I stop working and I live off my savings.
Okay.
And investments. Owning a new car. Having a nice wedding. Raising two kids and putting them through college, owning a home, having pets, going on a vacation once a year, and having enough cash for my funeral. All reasonable things.
All reasonable things. I would dare say we live in the dream.
$4.5 million.
Separately, but yeah.
$4.5 million.
If that's what it is, that's what we're doing.
Retirement, $1.6 million. New cars, almost $1 million on new cars. That's crazy. I guess if you're buying new cars on a regular basis.
That's why I'm buying new cars.
That ain't me. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Wedding, $44K.
Did not spend that.
Yeah. I did not either. I got close. I think we spent $30,000.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't regret the marriage. I regret spending $30,000 in one day.
Yeah, no, we didn't spend that.
Raising two kids plus college, $832,000. I hate putting like
a
number on kids. Like, your kids bring so much value to your life. But them jokers are not cheap.
They cost. Exactly.
Owning a home is nearly $1 million. Pets, $36,000. That's for owning one dog and one cat, including one time and annual costs. Vacations, if you took a vacation every year from 22 to 84, $180,000.
Wow.
And then the funeral. That's your last hurrah.
That's the lowest cost out of all of these things.
$8,500.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. So we'll go through each of these components and we'll, you know, give a couple of thoughts on each one. So the first one is retirement. And, you know, the numbers for retirement are not good. 54% of people have no retirement savings whatsoever. Like zero. Over half? $0 in retirement accounts. Of the folks who do have money in their retirement accounts, and specifically focusing on folks that are 55 to 64, meaning they are rounding third base, they're getting closer to retirement, their average balance is $185,000.
Wow.
Remember, we said 1.6 was the cost of retirement.
Right.
Jokers barely have 10% of that.
Yikes.
Yeah, I did a call this week with a woman who, man, like, she's in a tight spot. Like, she worked for a number of years. She got hurt at work, unfortunately, and that, you know, gave her a couple steps back.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, in her 60s already, starting a new entrepreneurial venture and wants to retire very, very soon. Like, doesn't want to work until she's 70 plus and doesn't have a lot of savings. Like, it's, some people say it's never too late to get started. Of course, you can always start. But, like, you know, when you're in your 60s and you have not done the work just yet.
Yeah.
You just got to recognize that there's going to be a little different retirement than what I imagined.
Listen, I don't want to give it all away. But at the end of the day, when it comes to retirement, you only have a few levers to pull.
Yeah.
Work longer.
Mm-hmm.
Save more, spend less.
Yeah. Or invest more aggressively, but that doesn't really move the needle, really.
Yeah.
So it's work longer, right? So meaning if you're in your 60s and you plan on retiring at 64, you might need to add a 7 to that. Put a 7 in front of that.
Do it.
Yeah. Spend less, save more.
Yeah.
That all works. But yeah, so retirement is a big part of it. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not making, like, real meaningful progress towards putting money away for your retirement, that piece of the American dream may not work out for you, my G. Not everyone's on the every year plan. I need to max out. Some people are going to, you know, start a business and maybe sell that business one day. But, like, you got to have something in mind.
Sure.
As to how retirement's going to pan out for you in the future.
Something other than I just can't be doing this for as long as.
Yeah.
I need to.
Something. I mean, otherwise, I mean, you're falling back on Social Security, which for most people, Social Security is just not going to cut it. You know, even if you were, like, balling, like, making $400,000 a year, your Social Security is going to max out at, like, $5,000.
Right.
And that $5,000 is taxable.
Yep.
If you were making $50,000, your Social Security is going to be, like, $1,500 to $2,500, depending on what age you decide to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not plan A. It shouldn't be plan A.
Right. And it's interesting that so many people, I find that there are extremes. There are people who think, who are relying on it as if it's plan A for them.
Mm-hmm.
And others who are like, it's not going to be here at all. So I'm not factoring it in.
Yeah.
Not too much in the middle.
Yeah. So next, education. So we talked about retirement. Next, education. Here's one thing that's interesting. I know there's folks that feel like college is overrated and, like, ain't worth it anymore. But the average bachelor's degree holder in America in their lifetime will earn about $2.8 million.
Sounds like a lot of money, but.
And if you happen to be a man, it's 3.3 million, which is like of really
course.
Messed up.
Of course it is.
But what's crazy, we said the cost of the American dream is 4.4.
Yeah.
We're saying going to college gets you
halfway there.
Yeah. And if you're
if
a
you're
woman,
lucky.
Yeah, if you're a woman, it's
not even.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are talking about a college educated couple that are now pooling their resources, the average lifetime earnings for a couple who both went to college, 5.6 million. So if you get married, pull your resources together, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, like there's a chance at getting some of this done. But I don't want a life where I've got to get married to be financially stable.
I hear you.
So let's throw that out for a second. The wedding. Average wedding cost, 44K.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. See, part of this is like, do you need all of these things?
Right.
Or you go with like some of these things.
It's choices.
Like for me.
So many things are about choices.
I'd rather retire sooner than have the ball in this wedding.
Agreed.
I might skip the cat and just have the dog.
Or no pets.
I might get the pre-owned vehicle instead of the new car every year.
Almost every time. We've only purchased one new vehicle in our 25 years of, almost 25 years of marriage.
Yeah.
And that vehicle is being driven by the 17-year-old right now.
Wow. So that means you literally rolled it till the wheels fell off. And they're falling off.
Well, if not the wheels, it's definitely been other stuff. Yeah. But I mean, it's just not that important to me.
So there's trade-offs. That's it. That's
for
the point
everything.
Of this.
That is the point of everything.
Yeah. What is your American dream?
That's the question.
That's a fact. So weddings, yeah, they're expensive. Dating is also expensive.
Wouldn't know.
So here are the stats on dating. I actually don't think these numbers are right. But on average, one date for a man costs about $68. For women, I didn't know women paid for their dates at all. But if they're treating, then it's $57. So these are stats.
How does the date cost less?
If the woman's planning it?
How does that happen?
If she knows she's planning it, I guess she picks the more economical.
Or maybe if she knows she's making 80 cents on a dollar.
That's true.
I mean.
Listen, touche, my friend.
Just saying.
Baby boomers spend the least on dates, $58. Millennials spend the most, $83.
Mm-hmm.
Gen X is right behind that at 82. Like these dates are not that extravagant.
So millennial parent, Gen Z, young adult, child is spending the same amount of money.
I mean, close to it.
While Gen Z is living at home and spending the same amount of money on a date.
You see what I'm saying?
That's
it. Yeah. So for a lot of folks, this is an issue. It's like an impediment to getting married. Like if I can't afford to take this woman on a date, or this young man on a date, which I never heard of that before. But then my odds of getting married and stepping into that American dream might be less. So I don't think that it should be a requirement to get married to be a part of this American dream. So then if that's the sacrifice you're making, you're not joining finances with somebody, then we got to be thinking about what are some other things I could do to trade that off.
Mm-hmm.
Raising kids is the next one. Raising kids, two kids, paying for college, healthcare, the whole thing.
Lord.
We're talking about nearly $1 million for two kids.
And I'm saying Lord, L-O-R-D-T.
Yeah.
I think here's what's difficult for me to get past.
Yeah.
And I am living it because I am experiencing it through the lens of my youngest child.
Mm-hmm.
There is an expectation when it comes to quality of life by Gen Zers, maybe even part of this alpha generation, which I think is the group behind them, to have the same privileges and luxuries as the working career people. And I'm like, it's one thing to say, I want my children or the next generation to have better, have more. It's another thing to believe that that means the same.
Yeah.
As in the same cost, as in the same conveniences and privileges. And I don't know how to navigate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not just my kids.
You got to make that make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, folks got to really understand. I mean, it goes back to how you raise your kids to understand where money comes from. Like
the value of a dollar.
Yeah. And how do you get it? And what's it for? Like kids really need to understand all of that stuff. If they've just been given.
Right.
This is a funny story. So I was at a admitted students night for my daughter's college, the college she's looking at.
Yay.
And young people are at the table. And we were talking with the parents about cash. And I just asked, how many of y'all still have cash in your wallets? And hardly anyone raised their hand. I mean, I'm a dad, cash? So I've always got cash with mm-hmm. me. Don't rob me, listener.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the young people said, I love cash because when I spend it, it didn't cost me anything because my bank balance is still the same. She's like, because normally when I spend money, I'm using my debit card or I'm using Cash App or Zelle or Venmo and I see my account balance going down. But with cash, it's like it's free.
Yeah.
If that's your attitude, like you don't have a strong orientation around money. I mean, it's kind of funny. And my daughter was right there nodding her head. I'm like, wait a minute.
Right.
My daughter is the queen of having a bunch of cash.
Yep.
And being like, hey, I'll pay you back when we get home.
And then it
not
never
paying
happens.
You back when she gets home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can relate.
Home ownership, big part of the American dream. We've already given the stats that homes are expensive. Only 65% of Americans who are adults own homes. That means 35% rent. The number used to be 69%. It's going the wrong way. This has been a barrier to the middle class for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
You know, so if I were a young person and I wanted to own a home, I mean, one of the big hacks I would do is live in a more affordable city. I mean, you got places in the South, like Charlotte.
Yeah.
Like Columbia, South Carolina. I'm sure parts of Mississippi. Texas, Houston is one of these growing cities.
Yes, absolutely.
Maybe reorient where you own your piece of the American dream as an idea. Maybe think about a two-family home instead of a single-family home.
Yep.
Maybe incorporate Airbnb in terms of rental income.
Absolutely.
If you are living at home to stack your paper, stack it up with a plan of actually buying a house when you move out.
Right.
Instead of stacking it with the goal of renting an apartment when you're done.
I have known parents to ask their young adult children to pay rent.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of using that money to actually apply towards the rent, they put it away for them, saved or invested it, and returned it to them for a down payment on a home.
That's great. My dad did that for me.
Yeah.
That's a great way to do it.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, part of it is like the young adult has to have that transition in their head that like, I need to leave the nest at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be financially independent. Even though I know my parents are there for me to fall back on, I want the pride of paying for my own stuff.
Right.
I want the pride of being able to say, hey, I own this place. Too often we see the young person live at home and then just give all the money away to fast food and Uber Eats.
Yes. Although, while it sounds like we're coming down hard on our younger folks, our colleagues did share with us that they do prioritize their mental health.
Yeah.
Of course, my comeback was, okay, where's the line, though, between mental health and just...
lazy.
I didn't say that. I think I framed it around being resilient, pushing through, working hard.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, but you got issues. I'm not going to have any issues.
Yeah.
So, quick story. So, I was having a friend of mine saw an internship opportunity and thought of my son might be a good candidate.
Okay.
So, I send it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He hearts it. He's a young man, a few words. So, I'm just like, oh, that was his way of saying, thank you. This is really cool. Follows up the next day. He follows up. So I'm like, this is also still good. And he says, thanks. I passed this along to friend one and friend two.
Okay. What about himself?
Oh, wait. So the internship had opportunities in multiple cities.
Okay.
He said, this is great. I could use a summer in LA.
Okay.
I also passed it along to friend one and friend two.
Okay.
So I wrote back, that's very thoughtful of you.
Okay.
And now they're your competition.
Mm.
He writes back, well, it's really more aligned with what they really want to do and less so with what I really want to do.
Okay.
And I said, okay, well, still good for you. But, you know, sometimes I always say this. Sometimes you have to do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Next response was, I don't need your help finding a job.
Mm.
I can do that on my own.
Mm.
So now I'm like, ooh. So I got to be gentle with this one who's a little bit sensitive.
Okay.
So I said, it's just.
Is this on text, by the way?
This is on text.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, this is just information.
Yeah.
But I think anyone who's looking for a job that doesn't have one yet would find this information helpful.
Okay. Okay.
All right. I'm like, I know you can do it. Yeah. So I got to end on a positive note.
Okay, that's good. But at the same time,
but I was like,
I know you felt triggered. I don't need your help.
I don't need your help to find a job.
And I'm like, your DAM
you,
help.
But you do, because you don't have one yet. And you are committed to this lease,
Lord,
that you signed.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
The lease has already kicked in. He's already paying this rent.
No.
When is it?
June 1st.
And he graduates May?
May 25th.
Wow. So he's got 6 days.
Well, we're already talking about subletting and all of that. So really, September 1. But yeah, if there's no sublessors, lessees, I don't know how that works. Yeah. Anyway, wow. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It was a very much, I don't need
your help.
Your input. And I'm like, but you kind of do.
Yeah. As a parent, you're hearing in between the lines. You're like, wait, you cursing me out? Imagine you said that to your mom back in the day. I don't need your help.
Would never.
About anything.
I would never.
Man, I'm feeling triggered right now. On that note, let's go to break. Let me calm down.
We need a break. Yeah, I need to bring it down too.
Yeah.
While I wait for my tickets to be purchased.
We are talking about this concept of the American dream. What it is, how to get a piece of it. When we come back, let's just talk about some strategy about how to make sure you get what you see as the American dream in your life. I'm Alan Boomer.
Andrea Gray.
And we are the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star. Momentum.
So now Ticketmaster is transferring my tickets, but now I have to wait for StubHub to accept them.
Oh my God, this is crazy. Meanwhile, Babyface is in there taking lozenges.
Separate some of my clothes. Oh, no. So, that's the song that's in my head. It's two occasions.
Yeah. I only think of you on two occasions.
What's that?
And that's day and night. Oh, yo, that's game right there. I only think of you twice, girl.
Day and night.
Yeah. When is that? Day and night. Oh,
that was
smooth with it.
That was the song.
Babyface had
about 88.
Babyface had what my son will call the Riz.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
That's hilarious.
As a songwriter.
Yeah. Yo, my son practices pickup lines in our house on a regular
basis. I believe that. And I know which one you're talking about. Like, you don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
I know exactly.
That's my baby boy.
Yeah.
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 Uh-huh. Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I feel like he's the one that's most like you.
He is, but I was not as like, I don't know, like, he's got a high level of confidence that I did not get until significantly later in life.
That's my youngest child,
too. And I'm so happy about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking about this American dream.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, I think, like, complaining and trash talking it the whole time. Let's give some advice on how to get yours. So first, we talked about this a little bit before the break. Like, what about your dream? Like, we named a million different things that back in the Great Depression era, these were things that folks wanted. It was retirement, new car, wedding, raising two kids plus college, owning a home, having pets, yearly vacation, funeral. What's on your lifetime vision board? Like, what are the things that you really want out of life? Because if it's less than those things, if there's things that you don't really require, then the cost is going to be lower.
Sure. And that's, I mean, when it comes to goals, like, we talk about this American dream, but that's really something that someone else defined at a point in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you really have to take a step back and figure out, what do I want? What is important? What isn't important? And just kind of focus on that.
Yeah.
If you really try to create your dream based on what someone else told you it should be, that's feels like a road to unhappiness.
That's a fact. I didn't mention these things, which may sound good to someone. Starting a business, living abroad, working from home, volunteering for charity, spending more time with your friends and family.
All wonderful, noble things.
Like, that's a dream for somebody.
They just have to be funded.
Yeah. But like, some of that stuff doesn't even cost a lot. Like working from home for someone and not having to commute every day.
Yeah, there's a lot of value in that.
That's attainable.
It is attainable. And I will tell you, as someone who works from home frequently, and I have no commute to speak of.
Yeah.
There are days, you know this, where I'm like, yeah, I'm coming in.
Yeah.
I got some errands to run, so I'm just going to keep going. And I'm like, I got a call, and then I did this, and then that happened. And I'm like, now I got to get dressed. I got to put on makeup, and I got to do stuff. I'm like, I got to pack a lunch or buy lunch out. I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
I'll just stay here.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, like, parts of my American dream that I value the most. Days when I can wake up without an alarm clock, especially Monday through Friday. Like, I'm not a morning person.
Mm.
I try to get my sleep. And I try not to schedule meetings before a certain time.
Yeah.
Now, I work for myself. But, like, the freedom that that gives me.
Yes.
Like, the peace of mind that gives me.
Absolutely.
Like, the ability to navigate my life that way.
And to be clear, you work late.
I do.
Like, you're here pretty late.
Yes.
I'm a morning person.
Mm.
But I do like the freedom of, even if I, as a morning person, choose to start my day early, I'm still in control of how I spend that time.
Yeah.
And that is very freeing.
But that's a part of that dream.
It is absolutely a part of the dream.
In corporate America, and you had to be in the office every day, and you had to be there from at least 9 to 5 every single day.
Yeah.
I'm sure you dreamed of having a time when you'd have the schedule flexibility to go do errands in the middle of the day.
Absolutely.
Like, that's redefining what that dream is. And
no
being
question.
Happy to have that and really appreciating and being thankful for that singular aspect of the dream.
No question. I saw 80% of my daughter's soccer games this season, her final and best season.
That matters.
That does matter.
Because if you waited until retirement to have time for your kids, your daughter can't go back in high school and play those games again.
Exactly.
So redefine what matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
And try to go for some of that stuff now. Now, look, if you just graduated college, like, nah, you're not going to have that flexibility right now.
Right.
I saw a video of a woman complaining, like, literally crying real tears. And the things she's complaining about was stuff like, they actually want me to show up to work at 9 and then I don't get out until 5 and it's dark when I get out.
Like, and by the time I get home and, you know, sanitize my shoes and order dinner and I don't have time to talk to my friends. There was some humor in it, but because I believe it was true, it made me a little sad.
Yeah.
But I mostly left.
But part of it, like, I don't think we set our kids up to really expect that that's what life's going to be like.
Yeah.
Like, they see us going to work on a regular basis, but somehow they've decided that that doesn't apply to them somehow. That type of life, that type of schedule.
Interesting. I never thought of that.